Hey, Amanda.
What?
Happy 10-year anniversary, babe.
What? We got married in October, almost 11 years ago.
Oh, I'm not talking about our wedding anniversary. 10 years ago, on this day, we became
debt free! Woohoo!
Steward Workshop is live August 18 to 29. Grab your spot today at goodstewardworkshop.com. I get it. Times are a little crazy right now. There's record inflation, soaring prices, and a supply chain that just constantly seems to be breaking down. It's harder than ever to provide for our families, help those in need, and build the kingdom of God. How are we to be good stewards of the gifts God's given us in such turbulent times? And what is a good steward anyway? Join us for the Good Steward Workshop and discover how to open up your heart and finances to God and be wise as serpents and innocent as doves when it comes to handling money. You'll learn how to invite God in, save money, earn money, and make stewardship your new energizing way of life. Join us live for the Good Steward Workshop August 18th to 29th. You can grab your spot today for free at goodstewardworkshop.com.
10 years. Can you believe it?
A whole decade.
10 years ago, we wrote, well, metaphorically wrote our last check to Sally Mae.
Clicked the last button.
Yeah, to Sally it was Mae. More like a virtual payment followed with a payment confirmation screen that I think that in somewhere, you know, in the archives of who knows. Photos, whatever, there's probably a screenshot of the final payment that we made that day.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
It felt really good. And so it's a good anniversary to celebrate. We celebrate every year with debt-free donuts. But, I mean, this is the 10-year mark. So I thought...
we got to ramp this up. Ramp the celebration up.
Yeah, I thought we could do an episode today to just talk about the whole thing. So... how we got in that spot to begin with of the debt, how we got out, what happened on that day.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about what's happened since then.
I love it because we, you know, we've been doing what we do now for years, but rarely do we go back to revisit this chapter.
Monumentous occasion.
No, yeah. Now, you know, we share stories of our students and our academy members who have been hitting their milestones of becoming debt-free, but rarely do we go back and talk about and share the nuanced little stories and details of our own journey anymore because we're celebrating the newer ones that are happening right now. So this will be fun. It'll be a trip down memory lane and also hopefully being a source of encouragement and inspiration of those of you who are wanting to gain control of your money and evict debt as well.
Yep. So, and to do that, we have to start with the nitty gritty skeleton in the closet. Ooh, I don't want to talk about this. Details of how we got into debt.
We did.
You want to go first?
I mean,
because we got into debt separately.
Yes.
Before we were
obviously
married.
Obviously, because we didn't even know each other.
Yeah. Well, other people, it's afterwards.
Sure. So, both of us took on, and we don't need to get into the super, super details, but both of us took on some student loans that were basically avoidable.
Tell me why yours were avoidable.
Mine were avoidable because if I was only paying half of college, and if I had just had a summer job combined with a job during the school year, I was only paying room and board. I absolutely could have cash flowed that if I had just gotten a job.
And you had your fifth year.
And, oh man, that's a pain. At the time I was in school, nursing majors had to do either 4.5 years or 5 years. There was no 4-year program. They've now switched that since. It felt like everybody was starting to do a fifth year at some point, which is just was another just kind of getcha
you
way
had
to
a whole semester.
Milk it out. Yeah, I had a whole semester of like fluff classes. Yep. So
we paid for those.
You didn't. My parents paid for those. Yeah. Hmm. They were doing tuition. I feel horrible. But I easily could have cash flowed my room and board if I'd been more intentional.
Hmm. All right. And then mine.
Yeah.
My parents, I don't know all the details, but I think they did a pretty good job saving up for paying for my college.
Mm-hmm. And they even told you that if you went to a particular...
Well, they said because there was so much saved up. Mm-hmm. And in Pennsylvania, I think most of the state schools were pretty cheap for in-state. They're like, if you end up going to one of these state schools, there'll be enough left over. We'll get you a car.
What? Jonathan, I have never known that detail.
I remember where they told me it was in the parking lot of the grocery store.
Dirty dog. Oh my word. I didn't have a deal like that. Wow. And you still willingly blew that off. You looked a gift horse in the mouth.
A gift car in the grill. Yep. So the state school, I was a dumb teenager. I didn't want to go to the school my parents went to.
And for no good reason.
All the other ones, like I wanted to go to a bigger school. I thought I wanted something kind of cool and exciting. I wanted to get away from where anybody else in high school was going to be going. And if I would have gone
totally
to one of the cooler
teenage version of Jonathan,
state schools like Penn State or Temple, they were just as expensive of where I ended up going. They were like a different tier or something like that.
Ah.
So that car would have driven away anyway. If I would have gone there. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a school in Virginia for a year. And then I transferred to school in New York State, mm-hmm. which again, still paying out of state tuition.
Right.
But still a pretty good deal compared to where I could have gone otherwise. But still
but
a worse deal than what I could have done.
Right. Maybe you could have gotten some scholarships.
Or maybe I
didn't know about that.
Lived off campus and after a year maybe qualified as being a New York resident. I have no idea how that works, but it saved a ton of money. Mm. Anyway,
you went into a bunch of debt.
I made some school choices that increased the debt that I owed. And after graduation, I mean, it was just, right, I don't know about you, I got this little like, not a coupon book, but it was this little book of like, I don't know, you tear off half of it and
make
that, like,
these payments?
Told you how much to pay.
I don't remember about that.
So I just did that.
Mm, interesting. Which
is probably the minimum payment.
I had my minimum payments on auto payment after graduation, but then probably every other month I would throw either $500, like every couple months I'd throw like $500, $700 at it.
Never occurred to me.
Yeah. So the $16,000 that I think that I had taken in my years of college, I believe by the time we got married was maybe $6,000 or $7,000 because we got married, 3 or 4 years after college, right around there. I don't know what your total was.
Neither do I.
When you started out of college, I don't think we've ever gone back.
That was the issue.
We've never gone back to look, but I think you had about $16,000,
something like that,
when we got married,
around there.
So combined with my six or something, that's like 22.
And then
there was the credit card
because I was very bad at managing money when I was a single missionary, and so I would run out of money because I'd buy things I really didn't need. With bank balance budgeting, I'd look at the price of the thing, I'd look at my bank balance. If the balance was bigger, I'd buy it. Mm. And I wouldn't think about, do I need to eat next week? Right. Do I need to pay rent? Do I need
fly out to visit my girlfriend?
Ooh. Didn't think of any of that. So then when some of those things came
up. We've got a story about that.
Oof. We paid for that flight.
I know where
again.
$500 of that credit card debt came from. Listen to this story. Let's just go back. Let's tell it.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So when those things would come up, I'd use my credit card, thinking, oh, well, I'll just pay it off when I get paid next week, which I did.
But then I used
all that money to pay off the credit card, so then I didn't have any money anymore. Mm. So then I had to use it again, and pretty soon, I couldn't catch up with it anymore. Yeah. So it was carrying balances. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. And it just kept building and building.
I don't know if this was true. I remember some conversation of like, you got behind on your rent.
Yes,
I
did.
To the diocese.
To the parish.
Or to the parish. Yes. And then they just kind of had mercy on you? Or did you ever?
I don't even remember. I think it was some sort of a deal. Maybe I could get good if I gave them like 80% of it. I don't really remember.
Rent in New York City. I mean, you paid $500 for
a... Is that what it was?
A month for a bed in a shared room, in a shared building with a shared kitchen. I mean, that that twin bed in that... crap place. I can't believe
that's
that. Here
fine.
I was.
I shared the room
I was
with
over
the
in
other
Illinois.
Missionary and a couple of mice. So
yeah,
we
I was
all
over
split the bill together.
In Illinois, paying maybe what? $200
a
month? For a house and a private bedroom. You know, anyway, cost of living was very different in our situations. And
so I had credit card on top of that.
You had the credit card debt. So we tallied that all up. It was it was about $25,000.
Some of that included me missing a flight to come see you. I had to buy a new flight.
Yeah, Jonathan, to get to the airport, this is all pre-Uber.
Yeah.
It's pre-apps and like you probably just would have woke up that day, gone down to the street, had rearranged an Uber the night before, and then gone to the airport.
Probably.
But at this time, before that, this is what?
It was a taxi.
2008. No,
10.
2010, 20.
I had to take a taxi or
to the
take
bus.
The subway. No, you could take the taxi all the
subway
way
to the bus.
Or subway to a bus to the airport.
Yeah, which took time.
Took a while.
A long time. And your flight was really early.
Yeah.
And I was going to be driving.
You're dropping somebody off.
Curtis Martin, actually. It was Curtis Martin, the founder of Focus. Yeah. I got the honor and privilege with a couple other college students. We muscled him into this car so we could just pepper him with questions for 2.5 hours on the way to the airport, which we loved. And he was so generous with his time and his thoughts and experiences. So when I told Jonathan that we were only going to be at the Indianapolis airport to pick him up and we had a literal 1 hour window, you had to get there in that hour.
I couldn't wait to get on the next flight.
Nope.
Or anything like that. And it had to be that airport, not a different one that, you know, anyway.
You couldn't find a flight.
I found a flight.
Did you?
Yes. It was very expensive on
airline. I thought maybe this was one of your other harebrained ones where you flew into Chicago and had one of my teammates pick you up.
No, that was for it's the prize engagement.
Okay.
Anyway, so I had to buy a new flight on a different airline with the credit card.
For $550.
At least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. In addition to the $200 flight you'd already purchased.
So anyway, it was a series of bad decisions, careless spending, and using debt to get by.
Mm-hmm.
That got us in a hole.
Yes.
And then we dug it even deeper with our honeymoon because that was put on a credit card.
Yes.
A brand new credit card that we got so we could score some free nights.
We did.
The honeymoon.
We got 4 free nights on the honeymoon. But then, we kind of, in the whole whirlwind of the wedding, forgot we'd even done that. And then I got an email on the honeymoon that this bill was due. And I want to say it was maybe...
It was a few thousand dollars.
$2,000-$3,000, something like that. The remainder balance of the honeymoon was on that. Or maybe the whole one.
I don't even know.
Anyway, I had a panic attack. Thankfully, we had received a bunch of money for our wedding.
A very large wedding. Lots of guests.
550 guests.
So lots of cards with checks and money in them.
Yes.
Which, because of the tight timeline... Your parents
had
to go deposit for us.
Yes.
So that we had money in the bank account
to pay this bill. Mm-hmm. But we did. We got it paid off. So by the time we got home, that one was taken care of. And now we just had $25,000 in debt between the student loans and the credit cards. And we only had a take home pay of about $35,000.
Yes. And that was the genesis of our first money fight on the honeymoon. And when we got back, we thought, this is bunk. I don't want to keep doing this the rest of our life.
Right. It just felt like, this is not what we signed up for. Just to have
I don't want to be fighting
tension and money fights and disagreements. And, you know, we already knew we had some differences about how we viewed money from growing up. And We just wanted to get on the same page with it and have this not be a thing. We knew it was one of the top causes of unhappiness in relationships, if not separation and divorce. So it just made sense that we got really intentional with it. And so we decided, okay, let's go after this. Let's figure this out. And so we learned how to budget, started budgeting, and then we came up with a stretch goal.
I'll say this. You decided.
I decided
to do this.
You drug your feet
and
a little
you decided bit. To go learn about it and, mm-hmm. and get some. And I thought, we got this. I got this. I'm the man of the family. I'll figure this out, which is crazy.
What other
it was
area
my
of your
scheming
life? Yeah.
And my behavior and my decisions that dug the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to be the genius to get me out because I'm so smart. If I was so smart, I wouldn't be in the hole.
Yes. There
so
is.
So it took a little bit of just. I don't know. I wasn't against it, but I was just kind of like, nah.
I will say a lot of people tend to have that mental block mm-hmm. of they know they're in a financial mess, but instead of turning to an outside resource or, you know, joining a program or getting a book, they just think, oh, I can just do one or two things different and we'll be good. And it just oftentimes doesn't work that way. What area of life do we suddenly become the expert or transform ourselves without really learning from others or walking with a community? It's just almost impossible for us to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps and suddenly begin transforming some area of your life. It's just really rare to do that. And so,
once I realized that was crazy. I was on board pretty easy.
You were more open. And I think you read a couple of books or listened to, you know, some podcast episodes that I wanted you to listen to. Mm-hmm. And it changed your mindset.
Yeah,
and
I was like, all right, let's do this.
And then we invested in like the YNAB budgeting software that was really new at the time. And so we made those moves and really started to see progress happening. And I want to say it was by May of 2012. We were officially five budgets in.
Well, you're talking about our stretch goal that we made.
Yeah, we made a stretch goal to get out of debt in 1 year, mm-hmm. which was impossible if you looked at the hard math when we began the journey. But we have always been of this mindset of, okay, it looks impossible, but how could we make it happen? And maybe that's just our personalities. Maybe it comes from a little bit of our faith, you know, as Catholics. What do we know about God? He's always striking water out of a rock. He's parting seas. Elderly people are conceiving children. I mean, he is the God of wonders and miracles. And so I think maybe that just opens our mind to expect something more than just meets the eye. And so we were ready for that, but also willing to do everything we could in our power. But we knew that if we pushed ourselves and learned what we could, but also trusted and asked God to help us, we went ahead and slapped that stretch goal on a 1 year time frame, mm-hmm. knowing that we were waiting kind of for him to act. And so by May,
also knowing like if we're trying to make this and it's a little bit crazy, mm-hmm. well, then we're actually going to try. Instead right. of like, okay, well, if we do the math, we could comfortably figure this out in 19 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll probably take 19 months.
Was this around the time
so
of
so even if we were really going after and like trying to hit it in 12, maybe we squeak it out in 14, mm-hmm. which is going to be a lot better than 19 or 21 or whatever it could have been if we did it kind of easily and not crazy.
Yeah. I think that what I was going to ask you, sorry to interrupt you there, was I think this was around the time where the BHAG was popularized. Yeah. The big, hairy, audacious goal. Mm-hmm. And the mindset is that if you set your goal right where you know you probably could hit, you're likely going to be derailed from the progress and possibly miss it because you weren't really being pushed. Mm-hmm. But if you set your goal well beyond what is actually feasible for you, it's going to not only bring out the very best results in you, but it might get you farther than had you had a lower goal. Mm-hmm. And so the point never was for us mm-hmm. to get out in 1 year. It was to push us as hard as we possibly could go. But it did bring out excellence in us. Yeah. And then a few things kind of went exactly our way. And we knew what to do when those opportunities came. And we were able to, here we go, back to May. We've derailed many times in this conversation. We had dropped below the $10,000 owed mark. Mm-hmm. So that means in 5 months, we had already paid off about $15K, which was incredible. And so we just kind of took that momentum and rode with it that summer. And August 15th, 2012, 7.5 months into the journey, we closed the doors on debt. So we did all of that in just over 7 months' time. Yep. And our stretch goal was 1 year. So we blew it out of the water again because we worked on getting some raises. We worked on selling a bunch of stuff from our home because we were moving cross country that summer. So there were just like one or two things that kind of just lined up. We didn't. We lived with our parents as we during that summer, so we never had rent. There were a couple of good breaks that we got that allowed us to go ahead and be clear on what we wanted to do. And if we didn't have that clarity and we didn't have that goal, we easily could have missed so many opportunities.
We would have wasted
that
so
summer.
Many of the chances that were given to us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. And so I'm just really proud that we had set that goal and then it directed all of our energy and efforts during that year. So it was exciting.
I want to talk about that day.
Yeah.
That day, 10 years ago. Golly, I mean, almost exactly probably when we were recording here. It was probably about this time of day.
Yeah, probably.
And kind of we were looking because we were doing our budget. We were, I don't know, a month, half a month ahead with our money.
Right. And we used to get paid on the 1st and the 15th.
Exactly. So, and then that money, what we got paid on the 15th, we would just not touch. And then once we got paid on the 1st, bada boom, that was the money we would use for that month.
Right.
And so we knew what was coming in on the 15th. And I think this was your idea.
It was money for September.
Yeah, it was like this money is like, this money is going to go towards the budget in September. We know that this much, whatever was left, I don't even know how much the last payment was. Let's just say it's $500. It's probably $1,000.
Yeah, it was over $1,000.
So like, let's just say $1,000. We know this $1,000 of this is going to go to pay off the rest of the debt. So we have the money now. We know that's what it's going to be set aside for.
We're being charged interest.
Why keep it on the shelf for 2 weeks?
Yep.
And then send it. We could be debt free today.
Yes.
And I was like, in some parts of my life, I'm not a rule follower at all. And then in some other ones, oh, please. Yes, I'm a rule follower.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, certainly then, I was like, nope, the way we do it, we save the money, then we have the money, then we use the money. But I went with you this time.
You went with me.
Because I was so excited to get out of debt. This is the thing we had been pushing for and striving for and say no to other things for so we could say yes to this and everything that came after it. So we went for it.
I even think that it might have been even a couple $1,000s.
It's a bit just of a stretch,
looking back,
huh?
It was like, oh, okay.
September's going to be a little tight.
September, if we commit to this, we can either become debt-free in October or it was one of those like we could kind of siphon money off of all these other September budget categories and just basically eat and have a roof over our head and be grateful for everything else. But that's it. You know, that was our life in September. Yeah. Let's just go play in the mountains because we lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We'll just go find free fun nonstop. And that is exactly what we did. But we were debt free.
Yep.
And then we had an opportunity like shortly after this to sign up to go to a really good deal of a trip to Rome.
That's true.
So not only were we debt free here, but then after that, in September and October, we used the money we would have been paying towards debt for this celebratory trip over to Rome.
That's right.
That we got for a super great deal.
Yeah.
So it was very providential that it all came together as it did that day. We didn't have any money left in the bank account, so we wanted to celebrate at least, you know, we had our emergency savings.
Sure, but
not money that we wanted to touch for just buying anything celebratory. And so we made
donuts.
Donuts that day.
Debt-free donuts.
That's what we called them, debt-free donuts. And they were great.
Very good.
They were great. And then I don't think we bought anything else for like 3 or 4 weeks, which would be a whole lot harder now at this stage in our life with 3 kids. But I'm just so thankful that we had that opportunity to do it then, mm-hmm. when we could essentially still live like we were college students and didn't have a lot of obligations.
Yeah.
So that's how we got out. That was the day. And then every day, every year on that anniversary, I don't know if it's happened every year, maybe right in the early years, we almost didn't realize how big of a deal this was to us. But certainly after maybe 3 or 4 years, people had really started asking us to coach them, really asking us to teach them, you know, how we did that and how we were continuing to make financial progress, that we really doubled down on, okay, let's just carry the debt-free donuts into this anniversary every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that every August 15th now.
We're going to go get some donuts after
this. It also
this.
Just really helps that it's a solemnity of the assumption. Because we don't just like go do a bunch of sweets for no reason in general. That's just not how we choose to live our family rule of life. But hey, a double celebratory day, it does call for some sweet treats.
Let's get some donuts.
Yeah. So we need to figure out where I can get a gluten-free donut. Either make them, mm-hmm. or one that's halfway close to our house.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just going to be watching. But that's okay. I still partake in the fun. Anyway, so let's talk about life since then.
Yeah, because getting...
And let's wrap
debt-free,
this up. Debt-free,
it is a day to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your debt-free donuts. But it's not the finish line. It's not... You're not taking your victory lap afterwards.
So many people make the mistake of viewing it as the finish line.
It's a great thing to do. We're not discouraging anybody listening to this to not go hard at getting debt free.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep going.
Yes. Or else you're going to get back into debt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people make the mistake of not pursuing as zealously their full rainy day fund after becoming debt free. They never get it established. Heck, they might even whittle it down. And then life is going to eventually happen. And what do you know? They don't have enough saved for the hot water heater that blew out. Or they don't have enough saved for that next vehicle. So they have to sign up for car payments. Mm-hmm. And that it just slowly can kind of happen again. And we meet people that have kind of been, it's like weight loss, right? It's just the yo-yo, up and down, up and down, up and down, because you have not built in automated savings and just kind of figured out how to never go back to debt, if that makes sense. And so that we have kind of taught people how to make sure you do that. We have built and whittled away our emergency fund many times over since that time. And then even as entrepreneurs, times that by 10, it's just the seasons of unknown. It's been built, it's been drained, it's been built, it's been drained. And then add a couple adoptions. And that's the ultimate full rainy day fund drainer. Willingly, you know, we willingly do that. But then beyond that, making sure you're putting aside money for the future. You know, if there's going to be a time in your life where you're not going to be wanting to necessarily work every single day, maybe at a W-2 job, or you'd like to slow down, maybe you're a business owner and you want to spend a good portion of your older years as an adult just kind of investing your time in making disciples or leading small groups or going on mission trips. Well, you need to be putting aside money so that you can actually invest for the future. So you have kind of a paycheck you can now give yourself because you set aside money in investments.
Mm-hmm. The reason we were so upset about being in debt is because the money would come in every month, and already the decisions were made on where it would go. And we knew the rest, if we kept in this minimum payments on this so much for the rest of our lives, we wouldn't have the opportunity to actually make a choice and choose what we wanted to do, right? So a bunch of our options would just be off the table because that money is already spoken for.
Yep.
So we got out of debt, and now we've had, like, the money's not tied up in our past decisions anymore. We have the full power of our paycheck to go towards what we need today and as we plan for the future. It gives us more opportunity to go through life, right? We have more opportunities on the table, and we have the resources to take them.
Yep. And you know what? All of this kind of plays into being a good steward. A good steward is going to look at debt that is just a drain. It's just hogging your income, and maybe it's on lifestyle things that are just going down in value. You know, there are differences between, you know, look at maybe a mortgage versus credit card. We can look at those two things and understand that they're different. We can look at, we can know that 90% of the debt products that are pushed on us as Americans are crappy, non-good. Okay, that's not a word. They're poor stewardship. Mm-hmm. They're poor stewardship, and they are not levers to be pulled. And so we want to help you become a good steward, someone who is taking the gift that God is entrusting to you and knowing exactly what to do with it, but also feeling the conviction to do something smart and wise and prudent with it so you can give it back to God with increase. Whether that be financially or just kind of be in a ripple effect through your family and how you choose to use that money in your community, you can give everything back to God with increase in your life. And we want to teach you that. Mm-hmm. So head on over to goodstewardworkshop.com. We're kicking off a 4-part live workshop starting August 18th, where we are going to go over how to invite God into your finances, how to save and earn as a good steward, and then how to live stewardship over a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know that things are getting a little crazy right now with the economy, with inflation, mm-hmm. possible recession, who knows? So it's a little bit harder for everybody right now, but we're going to look at how we're going to do these things as a good steward, even in crazy times like this. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, we've got so many emails and DMs and all this about what's going on right now and how can we do this? We said, let's just do this thing. Let's put it together in this workshop. You can grab your spot at goodstewardworkshop.com or click the link in the show notes.
See you in the workshop. Until next time, bye for now. Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Walletwin program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode is from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.